This is an institution of learning, ladies and gentlemen.
Listen to students, listen to parents.
Well, we're seniors. This is our year to slack off.
Okay.
Bueller.
Empower us.
The best anti-poverty program around is a world-class education.
Well, it's that time of year again. Your kids may already be back in school, or like me, you may be out there buying a long list of school supplies. 50 million public school students head back to class, and today we begin a week-long special look into the state of education in 2011. We're going to talk to students, principals, and we want to get your take as well, of course. Give us a call at 877-8-MY-TAKE or post your comment at thetakeaway.org. But we're going to talk about money first. State budgets all across the nation, obviously very, very tight, in many cases slashing education programs left and right to try to make the budget balance. And in addition to that, you've got looming requirements for No Child Left Behind, the expectation that by 2014, 100% of students will test at grade level in reading and math. So how do you balance the increased requirements with these tight budgets? Mike Rebell joins us now. He's executive director for the Campaign for Educational Equity at Teachers College. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Celeste. How are you?
What does the Campaign for Educational Equity do?
Well, we try to promote equity in education, which is becoming a bit more challenging every day, it seems, these days, with the budget cuts and the increasing demands on schools.
You mean that you're trying to get an equal education for every student in the United States? That's your focus.
That's exactly right. And that is the national policy. You know, you mentioned the No Child Left Behind Act, which was President George W. Bush's signature achievement in education. That was passed almost 10 years ago. And the expectation was, as you mentioned, by 2014, we'd have all of the children in the country achieving at high levels. And that would have been wonderful equality and equity. But unfortunately, we haven't made much progress toward that goal.
And part of the reason, Michael Rebell, is that many people call No Child Left Behind one of the biggest unfunded mandates in the history of the United States. There was a lot of requirements and a lot of punishments if a school didn't meet those requirements, but there wasn't extra funding for education.
That's exactly right. And there wasn't any pressure on the states to increase or maintain the funding. Now, in fairness, I must say, back in 2002, when Congress passed the law, there was a relatively big infusion of funds there. But they were supposed to keep increasing the funding for the next 6 or 7 years, and that didn't happen. And as you know, over the past 3 or 4 years, we've had substantial cutbacks in state funding and local funding across the country.
Well, all right, we're speaking with Michael Rebell. He's with the Campaign for Educational Equity at Teachers College. And, you know, Michael, I'm sure a lot of parents are in the same situation I am, where I'm kind of stunned at the amount of money I have to pay just for basics. I mean, I got to buy tissue paper it's Kleenex for my son's classroom. In Ohio, they're saying that they're charging kids $660 fee to play on a sports team, $200 to join the concert choir, $50 if they want to act in the school play. And this is going all across the country. You've said that these contributions from parents total about $4 billion per year. Can that be accurate?
Well, that's from parents, and also in a number of places like New York City, there are foundations that have been set up by parents, by some wealthy individuals. They also funnel money into the schools. But it's a very inequitable situation because, you know, if you're in an affluent area where the parents have the means and have the desire, they can organize themselves. In many schools, they'll raise $100,000 and pay for the music teacher that was left off, pay for the supplies that you're mentioning. But in another part of town where parents don't have that kind of means, they can't raise that kind of money, no matter how much they care about their children's education. And quite frankly, this is not the vision of what Horace Mann, who was the founder of our public school movement back in the 19th century, he called them the common schools, that it would be the same school for the rich and the poor. And unfortunately, we've veered very far from that vision, especially in the last few years with these budget cuts.
All right. Well, speaking with Michael Rebell, who's with the Campaign for Educational Equity at Teachers College. And what we're really talking here, Michael, is the push and pull here. Budgets that are getting slashed in many cases because states are deeply into the red. And at the same time, these federal requirements, which if students don't pass these tests, means that they lose federal funding for many of these schools. In fact, some of these schools could get closed if they don't get the test scores they need. So what's the solution here? How do we then make up for it? I mean, is in the end, are they going to have to raise taxes? Are they going to have to put out special calls for taxpayers to raise this cash?
Well, a couple of things are going to happen. First of all, that law has got to be changed. And
you're talking about No Child Left Behind.
Yes, and everybody in Washington knows that this 2014 100% proficiency mandate, they wrote that in 10 years ago when 2014 was a distant vision. And I remember one of the congressmen who was instrumental in that when I objected at the time that this was impossible, saying, we'll worry about that when we get closer to 2014. Well, we're close to it now. But, you know, Congress is deadlocked on this like everything else. They've had it on their agenda to change this law for the last 3 or 4 years, and they haven't been able to get their act together. So what's happened is there's actually been a revolt among school superintendents around the country. A few months ago, the school superintendents in Idaho and South Dakota, a number of other states, said, we're just not complying with this law. We're not declaring any more of our schools in need of improvement, failure schools, because they're not failures. This law is just crazy. And Arne Duncan, the Secretary of Education, has gotten the message. He's announced now that he's going to give waivers to states that apply for it, waivers from this 100% requirement, if they show they're making any kind of reasonable progress. Now, some members of Congress are upset about this. They say the secretary doesn't have the authority. But this is the state we're getting to. You might say it is questionable legally where it stands, but I understand what Secretary Duncan's doing. This is a situation that's untenable. Now, as far as the long-range solution, yes, we're going to have to put back some of this money that's being cut from education. And I also think we're going to have to find better ways to be more cost efficient, but not at the children's expense. That's the problem now. They whack it from the top. They say, we'll cut 10% without thinking through what the impact of that's going to be.
And the impact often is larger class sizes and fewer teachers. That's Michael Rebell, Executive Director of the Campaign for Educational Equity at Teachers College. Again, we want to get your takes on the state of education. 8778-MY-TAKE.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.